feels right. It's lovely to be back in here. Lovely to have you guys along for the ride for the next 3 hours, if you are so inclined. The number that you dial, if you want to get involved, 615-737-1045, 615-737-1045. Zone TV, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Live, Twitter, we're everywhere, baby. We got a lot of ground to cover. I got a lot of stuff from Titans camp. You're going to hear from Shane Bowen, Mike Vrabel, Taylor Lewan, many of the primary actors for your local professional football team. Madison Blevins will be here as well. We got Vols talk. They are in the midst of, what is it? It's not training camp for college football. What is this, just practices?
Fall camp. You can call it training camp if you want. It's the same thing.
All right, same thing. Fall camp, training camp, whatever it is. We got quarterback controversy. Maybe. 615-737-1045. Lucas is here. I am here. We are back together again. It feels, I don't know, this feels like a reunion of sorts, even though I saw you last night at the Sounds Park. It was not quite as much. It was not a love fest. It was just kind of a mutual acknowledgement of, oh, I'm going to have to deal with you in person tomorrow. I felt that energy.
Just a head nod and a grunt.
But it is, I'm happy to be back, even though I can't damn see you because of this plexiglass and ring light. So I guess it doesn't really matter, but it feels more natural now that I'm here.
Yeah, I've been here. You have not been here. You've been at Titans training camp, and you'll be back at Titans training camp tomorrow and next week. So
I will be scattered back to the wind as soon as we spend a day inside. But we have a ton to get to. There's football tonight. My God, that happened quickly. Hall of Fame game.
Didn't hit me until my drive in this morning.
Why? Because you were thinking of what to put in your update, and you're like, oh, look at this.
Yes, exactly that.
That's how much easier my life just became. Yes, the Steelers and the Cowboys. I'm certain we will not see Ben Roethlisberger. I'm certain we will not see Dak Prescott in the middle of this. But it is exciting to have football nonetheless. Preseason is something that I have mixed emotions about. Because on the one hand, we did not have preseason last year. I felt, as a person who covers the Titans, as a Titans reporter in my full-time capacity, talk show host, you know, on the side, basically, I felt there was such a knowledge gap for me about the team that I cover without the preseason last year. Now, immediately, about seven, as Lebowski points out on YouTube, he says he's ready for 7 minutes of NFL football tonight. If we get 7 minutes of NFL football, I think you're being generous. I'm told that Ben DiNucci is going to be the starting quarterback for the Cowboys. I don't think Ben DiNucci has 7 minutes of starting of NFL caliber football in him.
Yeah, we'll get a little Garrett Gilbert action.
Spicy.
We'll get to see all 18 of the Steelers quarterbacks they have on the roster.
And Josh Dobbs being one of them.
Right, not Ben Roethlisberger, though.
So, no, not Ben Roethlisberger. So at least there's some kind of local tie. People rooting for Josh Dobbs to succeed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But what I will say to you is, this is, if you care about the construction of your team, whether you be a Titans fan, I know we have Cowboys and Steelers fans in Tennessee because there's Cowboys and Steelers fans everywhere across the country. If you care about the construction of your roster from top to bottom, if you care about the depth, if you care about the pieces that you may not know in August, but who are going to play roles for your team at some point, then the preseason is a critical part of the process. Down from 4 to 3 this year, the additional 17th regular season game negating that 4th preseason game. So at least we don't have to deal with 4 of them. But I have mixed emotions about this because Lebowski is so right. There's probably 7 minutes of real NFL football in the middle of all of this. And I don't particularly care about, I mean, the Titans play the Steelers this year, if I remember correctly. They do not play the Cowboys. So I will care a little bit about the Steelers side of things. But otherwise, there's not a ton for me to be invested in. I will say to you, though, that I am excited to go to Atlanta, to go to Tampa Bay, to see this team, this Titans team, in the preseason because of the questions that I have about their depth. I want to know about Logan Woodside and DeShone Kizer. I want to understand just how much Darrington Evans has benefited from all the work that he's getting in camp because Derrick Henry isn't doing 11-on-11 drills right now, just out of precaution. There's no reason that he needs to. At this point. Same with Taylor Lewan, who we'll talk about later. Roger Saffold, Ben Jones, Julio Jones, guys who are getting days of rest right now, because at the forefront, the most important thing to accomplish through training camp is to preserve the health of your team, certainly the top-end players. 615-737-1045. How much preseason football are you going to watch tonight? I'd be curious to know. Are you going to watch a quarter? You going to watch a couple of series? You going to watch a half? Are you just going to stick? Are you just going to draw a needle full of preseason football and stick it right into the vein in your neck? Is that what you're going to do tonight? Because I know some of you degenerates are betting on preseason football. There's no question. 615-737-1045. Do you care about the preseason? Are you excited to have it back? Are you indifferent? I'd just be curious to know how our audience is consuming this right now. Zach Bunch on YouTube says, hoping to see a Dob nail tonight. What does that mean?
It's the Dob nail boot. That doesn't ring a bell for you.
I have no idea what that means.
The backstory is early 2000s, Georgia beat Tennessee, and their broadcaster Larry Munson said, we just stomped on their face with the hobnail boot, and it became known as the hobnail boot with that touchdown in Neyland Stadium. And then the Hail Mary in Athens, Josh Dobbs to Juwan Jennings.
That's right.
Became affectionately known as the Dobnail boot.
Ooh, spicy. So he wants to see a Dobnail boot tonight against the Cowboys. And I have many people in the comments on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook saying that they are indeed betting on...
My God.
Betting on preseason football.
Who's the favorite?
Who's the favorite?
How do you even...
I have no idea.
How do odds makers even do this?
Is there a line? Hang on. Let me pull up my DraftKings Sportsbook app. Give me a second. V-Love, man. Butt chug in the first few series for sure. I mean, listen, it's football. It doesn't matter. Even if you hate watching preseason football, you are going to watch this game. I all but guarantee it. Zach says the Cowgirls are not being favored presently. I will see what the line is exactly in my DraftKings Sportsbook app. On principle, I don't bet on the NFL because as an NFL reporter, I feel like there are some that would create a conflict of interest. So that's typically something that I avoid. So I will not be betting on the preseason games either. But I was tempted. I was tempted because DraftKings has great promotions right now in the app. But the Dallas Cowboys, it's not even giving me preseason lines. It's saying, no, put the needle down. You cannot do this to yourself. That's too funny. I can't find preseason lines right now. Maybe Lucas can look something like that for us up. 615-737-1045. So with that being understood, and with the depth of these teams, particularly the Titans, because that's the one you guys care about the most, the one that we care about the most, what are you looking for out of the preseason? What are you looking for right now in camp? Because I have some observations that we're going to get into on the other side about where this team is depth-wise, the kind of roster competition that you should be looking for right now, the places where you're starting to see that bear out, particularly up front. If you're talking about the offensive line and the defensive line, this is going to continue to be a question because you heard Taylor Lewan at the podium yesterday, and we'll play you some Taylor Lewan audio coming up next. You're not seeing a bunch of those guys go through these 11-on-11 drills right now. Lewan, Saffold, Ben Jones, Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, if you're looking at the offense across the board, they are being managed differently. Their bodies are on a different timeline than some of the younger guys, right? The younger guys need the reps. The vets know how to do this. They've been through training camp before. What you're looking for, though, is how stable are you? How stable is your depth of the running back, of the offensive line and defensive line? Because we saw where things fell apart on defense for the Titans in a great many ways last year. And that's something that we spent a lot of time, basically the entire podcast, with Greg Cosell yesterday, the install available now, wherever it is that you get your podcast. We did a deep dive on this Titans defense. And their talent, what little they had on the top end, it went to hell. As soon as Clowney got injured and you could take away Simmons and Landry with double teams and things of that nature, you were able to basically negate the Titans up front on the defensive line. That's not something that you can afford to have last year. you need to be able to have that kind of depth to sustain your ability to affect the quarterback. On the offensive line, they have done things much better, or at least have managed the injuries, found ways to succeed, put the depth guys in better positions a year ago, where you lose Taylor Lewan in week 6 to a torn ACL, and you insert Ty Sambrelo into the lineup. Ty Sambrelo experiences some kind of, and we still don't know what the injury was, but a season-ending injury against the Baltimore Ravens, and you toss David Questenberry out there. David Questenberry plays admirably. They also have to find favorable positions to put him in. How deep is this team in the trenches? I think that's going to be a storyline all season long. And right now, what we're really studying when we're out there doing these radio shows at Titans training camp. We had Kendall Lamb on the radio show yesterday. You're going to hear a little bit of that as well, because there is competition. Really, the only spot that there's competition are the kicker and the right tackle. Everything else we kind of know. Even as the secondary is a bit of a jumbled, I don't want to call it a jumbled mess, but you got a bunch of different parts. You really know who's going to be playing for this team come week one. That's not in dispute right now. It's just how soon can you get all the pieces out onto the field together. Kicker and right tackle. These are the only two question marks, real question marks, as far as personnel is concerned for the Titans. I think that there's an interesting conversation to have about which unit between the offensive line and the defensive line is performing at a higher level right now. Two padded practices, two fully padded practices, 7 full days of work through training camp for this team. We're going to get into that coming up next. We're going to analyze who you believe to be the better unit. When you look at Denico Autry, Tyre Tarte, who has been showing up and showing out at training camp, who J. Martin Ramon had on the radio show this morning. Go check out the podcast. It was a great interview. Jeffrey Simmons, of course. How much of a step can he take where he's being discussed with the Aaron Donalds of the league? There is the potential for that, but we have not yet seen that ability. We have seen some ability. We have seen obvious traits that this man possesses to be an absolute game wrecker. A Fletcher Cox, an Ndamukong Suh, guy, Chris Jones, guys of that caliber. I'm not willing to put anybody in the same category as Aaron Donald, because Aaron Donald is physically different and has the skill set of a player that, at that size, that he should absolutely not have. Aaron Donald is an alien unto himself. So let's not put Jeffrey Simmons in that conversation just yet. But there is plenty of reasons to think that they can find ways to scheme around their best player up front, which, by all accounts, is Jeffrey Simmons. We'll get into that coming up next. You'll hear from a lot of the parties involved. Taylor Lewan, Kendall Lamb, Mike Vrabel, a little bit of Greg Cosell, because we had some analysis on the Titans defense on the install. We'll give you a sprinkling of that, so you can go check out the full episode yourself. After the radio show concludes, all that and more, your phone calls as well, coming up next. 615-737-1045. 615-737-1045. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Man, look at Harry Douglas go this morning. We got First Take on in the studio right now. They are currently debating the clutch gene. More trusting in big games, Ryan Tannehill or Matt Ryan. And our boy Harry Douglas, former Falcon, former Titan, sits between Max Kellerman and Marcus Spears right now, making the case against Ryan Tannehill. Now, Harry played for a long time with Matt, so I understand. But it's, one, it's cool to see Harry up there killing it. He's doing a great job. Makes me very happy to see my friend succeed, especially when they're on national television. Harry, we'll see if we can't get him in. We'll see if we can't bring Harry in the next couple of weeks and get into an argument about Ryan Tannehill or Matt Ryan. A little First Take of our own.
It was 2-on-1, though. Marcus Spears and Max Kellerman were on the Tannehill side.
Oh, no, because he's wrong.
Right, right.
Because Harry's wrong.
Well, that's why they brought him in, right? Because they probably thought he would have that opinion.
Yes, that's fine. No, it's an organic opinion, at least. It's not like somebody spoon-fed Stephen A. Smith, okay, you take Matt Ryan and Max will take Tannehill. Harry believes this. Harry is also wrong. And that's perfectly fine. 615-737-1045.
They're still going.
Oh, hell yeah. Harry doesn't go down. Harry will keep the fight going. Who was the corner for the Broncos? He was playing for the Titans. It was a home game. And I remember Harry dove at his knees. I think it was Aqib Talib.
I think it was Aqib Talib.
And like Harry keep going after the play, after the whistle. So this is no surprise to me that he continues to fight the Matt Ryan fight on First Take right now. Well, we will debate quarterbacks another day. The question that we asked you guys, how much of the preseason are you going to consume before we get into the better unit between the Tennessee Titans, where we have seen Shane Bowen take strides as well? I wrote about this for AtoZSportsNashville.com yesterday. I'm biased. I think it's a good article. You should check it out. But cousin Shane O'Mac on Twitter says, totally watching all of the game tonight. I'm sure I'll regret it sometime in the second half, but I need actual football, preseason or not. Kenneth Allison agrees, don't care about the preseason usually, but damn it, I need football in my life. The people have spoken. The preseason will be watched, whether it's hate watched or otherwise. The preseason, the Hall of Fame game, will be watched tonight between the Steelers and the Cowboys. So let's talk about, there's a great many pieces of audio from the last couple of days that I wanted to get to. First and foremost, I want to talk about what I've seen out there at Titans training camp. What I have seen is a patchwork offensive line. What I have seen is Kendall Lamb at the left tackle. I have seen some Roger Saffold at left guard. I've seen some Ben Jones at center. I've seen Nate Davis playing the vast majority of right guard reps. And I've seen Ty Sambrello on the right side. Now, you would say to me, if you're not going to work Dylan Raidens on the right side, or if you're not going to work him at guard, why is he not playing primarily on the right side? Well, in fact, Mike Vrabel spoke to this yesterday, and we'll play for you that audio about the consistency issues that Dylan Raidens has had. What I watched yesterday was Dylan Raidens get schooled a couple times by players he should not be getting schooled by, particularly Ola Adeniyi, who is another Pittsburgh Steelers free agent, edge rusher that you brought in, really a core special teams player, but a dude who with the physical traits that Raidens has should not be beating Dylan Raidens in a leverage battle. So there's moments like this yesterday that have popped up throughout the course of camp. It's normal. It's completely natural. Dylan Raidens is playing a much higher level of football, even in training camp, than he was at North Dakota State. And remember, they only got one game in last year and North Dakota State. So when we asked Mike Vrabel about the kind of progress that Raidens is making, it should be no surprise that this was the head coach's response.
I think it needs to be better. I need to be better. It's a young player up front and playing right tackle, playing right guard, playing all over the place because guys are down. We need to, start continuing to make some progress. I think the consistency has been what's been lacking. See a really good play and then, see a mistake that maybe we've made, or he's made previously and that we've tried to correct. And he needs to correct that like every player does so that we're not, making those same mistakes two and three times. That's most important.
That's Mike Vrabel yesterday at the podium talking about the rookie second round pick, right tackle, they hope, Dylan Raidens. Now he's seeing some work at guard. He's seeing some work at tackle. Remember that Taylor Lewan and the veterans, Jones, Saffold, they're not getting full practice work right now. They're not going through all of the drills, all of the 11-on-11 drills that they're running right now. They're trying to manage the veterans' bodies. So that the offensive line at this point, through 2 days of padded practice, fully padded practice, it's just an observation that they look a little bit disjointed. It's completely understandable that they would look a little bit disjointed. But Raidens has to understand, and it sounds like the coaching staff is trying to get this across to him, buddy, you're not just going to be asked to play one position. We may need you at several. Versatility does not just apply to a defensive, to an edge rusher who can play on the outside, who can come off the edge, or who can play inside and rush from different gaps. No, this applies to our offensive line too. We need you to see reps at guard. We need you to see reps at right tackle. Because you may not be ready to go, but in the event that we need to throw you into the fire very quickly, i.e. Nate Davis in Atlanta in 2019, then you better have your stuff together. Because this is what you have in the NFL. This was what makes the math so hard on game days. When you're trying to figure out different manipulations of the 46-man active game day roster, the guys that you can pull from, and a minimum of 8 offensive linemen. How can we find ways to make you as valuable a piece as possible if you can't take the lessons and translate them from day to day? This is what Mike Vrabel, and it's constructive criticism. It's not, you know, because I was trying to figure out how to talk about this yesterday on the primetime show. And I'm like, well, Mike didn't rip him, so I can't run with that. Mike wasn't tearing him down.
It's 1 week of practice.
Oh, sure. But, you know, you got to understand on primetime, like I'm looking for a good headline. Like I'm trying to figure out the best way to get people into the show as humanly possible. I'm playing a different game on the internet than I do on the radio, right? So I was trying to figure out how to give the head coach, giving constructive criticism to an offensive lineman, trying to figure out how to give it some juice. Turns out a little harder than I figured. But we had good numbers last night, so I'm not upset about it. 615-737-1045. Does anything about that, because what Lucas is saying is so. This is 1 week of practice. 1 full week. 7 days of practice and only 2 fully padded practices. Only 2 opportunities to figure out how good or how competent the offensive line, the defensive line, really the tight ends in a fuller form, a fuller picture of their responsibilities, and the run game. This is really the best picture that we've seen the last 2 days of what this football team could and should look like and what their goals for this football team is. I'm not overwhelmingly concerned that Dylan Raidens is having trouble stringing together days. It's early August. He has over a month before they will have to make a decision on whether he can play for them on game days or not, on whether he can be, and he will be active on game days or not. This is not a, I can't remember the name of the guy, Blake Bedingfield, right? Blake Bedingfield was the dude who said that AJ Brown would be inactive at some points during his rookie season. And it was not accurate in any way, shape, or form. AJ Brown was and continues to be the best wide receiver in a Titans uniform that includes Julio Jones that I've ever seen. All right. I know there's been some good ones, but not many. So that kind of analysis, it's not like the second round pick is going to be inactive on game days. Unless, you know, he's Isaiah Wilson. And he's not Isaiah Wilson. Knock on wood. But I wouldn't be overwhelmingly concerned about Dylan Raidens just yet. Now, you do have Kendall Lamb. Kendall Lamb, who is currently playing backup to Taylor Lewan right now. He's been playing primarily on the left side, which he said is a difficult adjustment. But he is a swing tackle by trade. And this is what he has to do. Now, Kendall Lamb was on the radio show yesterday, and I asked him, you know, what's it like to compete with a rookie for a spot that you are desperate, I mean, not desperately, but you're very much trying to earn. You want to be a starter in this offense. That's why you came here, for the opportunity. This was Kendall Lamb yesterday on the radio show.
Dylan's a phenomenal dude, very bright young man, you know, played D1AA, North Dakota State. Right. I was at Appalachian State, so we were D1AA at one time. So I feel for him. I understand. I love the D1AA.
There's a brotherhood there.
100%. I mean, the playoff system, you know, we won't even get into that. I think it's great. But, you know, I appreciate D1AA guys. But, you know, Dylan's a phenomenal guy. You know, I get in there. He's at guard sometimes, even when he's at tackle and I'm sitting there watching. You know, you try to say little things. I mean, he got to play 1 year or 1 game of football his last year, so it's been a little bit of time for him. So if I can see little things to help him and, you know, just have that open form of communication, because in the grand scheme of things, like, think about it like this. We're on one team. Regardless of who goes in there, I mean, you want the best person. You want to put them in the best position. If it's me, if it's him, whoever it is, I mean, at the end of the day, we're on the same team. Let me reiterate that. So you just try to help as you can.
Kendall Lamb, Titans offensive tackle, competitor for the right tackle position, except he's playing left right now. Yesterday with us on the radio show. You can check out that full interview, by the way, in your favorite podcast app, The Buck Rising Show, where we have done many great interviews. Kendall Lamb, Kevin Byard, Rashawn Evans, John Robinson, Christian Fulton, Jayon Brown, and more to come, because we'll be spending, apparently the rest of time out of training camp. Has it made the show harder on you to do when I'm not here? Like, how are you experiencing this, by the way, Lucas?
No, I'm enjoying it.
Oh, just...
it makes it a little bit easier on me, if I'm being quite honest.
What do you mean? Explain yourself.
I mean, first of all, shout out to Jared Puff from the Tennessee Titans for hooking us up every single day. I mean, it's not very often that we just have a Titans player served up on a silver platter literally every day on the radio show. It makes my life pretty easy.
Because you don't have to book and you're not having to slog through your contacts and stuff like that because you're being served NFL players on a platter.
It's a privilege.
Yeah. I mean, it's a contract, buddy. But yes, no, listen, we are greatly appreciative to Puff and the whole PR staff for making sure that the audience gets to hear from all of these guys, because you want to, especially guys like Kendall Lamb, guys like that who will play a role at some point throughout the course of the season for this team. You know, Jeff Swaim is not somebody who gets talked about a great deal, but Jeff Swaim played an integral role in this team's construction last year. Now, Swaim is not currently he's not currently doing stuff on the field. He's missed a couple of days of practice at this point, as has Julio. And Julio watch, by the way, Mike Vrabel said would continue until further notice. So I would hold your breath. This is what, how many times I got to tell people he doesn't practice.
Julio.
Yeah, that guy, he doesn't do stuff. I mean, even if it's training camp, even if it's a new team, that guy doesn't practice.
Yeah. Cause I remember when Caleb Farley got drafted and you saw so much of, think of the reps he's going to get against one of the best receivers of our generation of all time. Not going to get that many reps against Julio Jones. We're seeing that so far.
Yeah, it's just, it's not, I mean, there are pictures that are basically, you know, social media porn at this point of Julio Jones going against Caleb Farley in one rep at training camp practice. Turns out that's the only rep. They got the photographs of the one rep that he got against Julio Jones so far. It's early. It may happen again. It may not. Who knows? But I tried to couch people's expectations about this because I know what the MO of Julio Jones is right now. Anyway, we're talking about offensive and defensive line strength for this Titans team. So right now it's tough to get a full picture. Again, plenty of time, but it's tough to get a full picture of what this offensive line could and should be. But the defensive line, my God, is this defensive line showing up right now. This is something, I don't know what the depth behind them is like. I don't know what Laurell Murchison is capable of doing. I'm not quite sure what Rashad Weaver is just yet. I know that he will play multiple positions across this front. And this is something that Shane Bowen spoke to when he met with the media the other day. D-line versatility. Because Weaver is working with the outside linebackers. He's going to be an edge rusher. Denico Autry in Indianapolis, in their 3-4 front, played end. Denico Autry will see a great time at interior defensive tackle for this team. Jeffrey Simmons will play nose. He will play inside in certain formations. I'm sure they'll try to put him on the outside. They'll try and put Simmons in the best possible position to succeed. And T.R. Tartt is a fun player, but he's a nose tackle. He's a good nose tackle, it seems. He's a nose tackle that's got great potential. But the versatility of this defensive line, we're already seeing it in camp. And that's something that Shane Bowen has been coaching and preaching to these guys on a regular basis.
It is. Guys got to know what they do well in that position, right? Like, I'm a run stopper and my transition is this. Or I'm a pass rusher and I got to focus on this in the run game, right? Like, every guy is different with their skill set, even down there. Like, a nose is dramatically different than a three technique, right? And I think the biggest thing down there is knowing your skill set and using it to your advantage. Because, like, Coley, for instance, he's dramatically different than T.R. Tartt, right? Like, so there's a lot of different skill sets, and those guys understanding who they are in both the run game and as rushers, I think that...
U.S. position versatility, we saw him play some of the edge in Indianapolis.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's why he's here, to add value in a lot of different ways for us. Obviously, on third down, the flexibility to move inside and do some of that, have a bigger body, which we really haven't had in the past at times. And then to be able to play first, second, inside at times, like, he's a valuable piece because he does have that versatility.
Shane Bowen at the podium, what would that have been? Tuesday with us after a practice where the defense looked dominant. The defense, and this is the case, right? This is the cliche as old as time in training camp. Defense always comes in ahead of offense. It's easier for defensive players to fly around and make plays while the offense is still trying to work the kinks out. When Ryan Tannehill is trying throws in a training camp practice number four that he would probably not do in a game, or that they would have more reps at to where he's more comfortable making any kind of throw that at this particular time might be considered high risk. The defense is doing what they need to do, though. Lucas, I don't know if we have the Bowen clip of him talking about how much easier it is to get to know his players right now. I know that's something we've played for the audience previously, but if you have that available to you at some point, I'd like to run that back, because there's such a blatant and obvious comfort level with this defense that we did not see a year ago. Because with Shane Bowen, and this is what I wrote at A2ZSportsNashville.com, with Shane Bowen, you had a guy thrust into a near impossible position, learning how to be a play caller on the fly in the middle of a COVID offseason when everything goes virtual and you have to change everything you know about teaching football, teaching and coaching football. Then you're still the dedicated outside linebackers coach, so you can't move around to the other position groups the way that you need to, because you're working out your guys and then figuring out how to call the plays on Sundays. I don't know if that was a part of the plan. I don't know if that was the ramp up for Shane Bowen. All I know is this year, him being able to talk to all of these dudes makes a world of difference.
Yeah, I mean, I've been able to bounce around meeting rooms. You guys heard it a lot last year, like the coordination, the communication, making sure everybody's on the same page, right? And now I can immediately walk in the linebacker room and say, hey, right? So everybody sees things the same way. We're communicating things the same way. So I think that's been a tremendous asset, being able to bounce room to room. Also being able to understand and make sure, like, we're getting coached what we want coached, right? Like, that's part of it. Like, I want to make sure they're hearing what we want. And then when we go in the unit room, they better be able to spit it back. And I know they got that covered, right? And then obviously out in the field, just being able to touch all those guys. But I think building the relationship with the guys, like, that's a big part of it. That last year, I don't think was there, where I think this year it's growing, and that's becoming a bigger piece for me.
Shane Bowen on Tuesday talking about getting to know the actual defensive players this year, not just the outside linebackers. It's a big difference between hearing a coach's voice in your headset on Sundays and actually having a relationship with the dude on the other side.
It's pretty surreal to hear him essentially say the defensive play caller did not have those relationships in 2020.
I mean, what else is he supposed to say?
No, I know he's right. I'm just saying that it's crazy to think about that the guy calling those plays, allegedly organizing this defense week in and week out, wasn't even in meeting rooms with the majority of this defense.
Buddy, how could he be? You know what? We'll talk about this on the other side, because, and I want to hear how the audience feels about this. 615-737-1045. Are you surprised to hear Shane Bowen give voice to what we all had to know was happening last year? This is why I was so pissed off about Shane Bowen being made the fall guy. Because it wasn't, I mean, excuse, we'll do it coming up next before I get all worked up and we run out of time. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. So we're watching ESPN right now in the studio. Lucas told me in my ear while we were doing that last segment, RG3 is going to go work at ESPN?
I just got a push notification that RG3 is joining ESPN as a broadcaster.
Did you get that from ESPN itself?
I believe I got it from Bleacher Report.
Oh, they can't even break their own news. Pity. Heisman Trophy winner remains free agent after three seasons as Ravens backup QB. He's going to join ESPN. Sounds like they do college football. I mean, RG3's got a good personality on social media, but, I mean, I don't know. Is RG3 a draw on television? Are you flocking to your TV to watch RG3?
Not exactly, but I don't know that I've really seen RG3 in front of a microphone. I don't know how good he is with media.
Okay, that's fair.
But, I mean, he did. He took college football by storm for those 2 years or so where he was dominating at Baylor.
Oh, no, there's no question that he was a star. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I wish we could find Andrew Luck and put him in front of a microphone. What you been doing, bud? How's the book club? He's probably in Europe teaching 17th century history or something like that in high school. We were talking, though, about Shane Bowen and how surprising – Lucas was surprised to hear him give voice to the idea that he probably didn't know a great deal of his players last year, which, if you watched them at all, is not a big leap to make. It's why I have been steadfast in saying when you accuse Shane Bowen of being the poison pill at the center of the Titans' defense last year, you are ignoring so many different things. It's why, and listen, he is now opened up to all of the scrutiny this year, right? When you declare, when you are given the title, when you are the person who we now know for a fact rather than being told or bugging Mike Vrabel about it every week and him saying, well, Shane runs the meetings and Shane calls the defense and Shane yada, yada, yada. And then all of it seems to have a little bit of a, it just doesn't seem to hold up. Whatever their reasons were for a lack of transparency about how the hell this thing worked last year, I'm sure they felt they were doing the right thing to protect the players and protect Bowen. But they created a scapegoat out of Shane that I think was completely unnecessary. So when Shane Bowen gives voice to the idea that, yeah, he didn't have relationships with a lot of the guys on defense last year because he physically couldn't, whether it's because he's coaching the outside linebackers during practices or it's because that COVID has sent everything virtually, it makes all the difference in the world. Now, Taylor Lewan talked to the media yesterday and said something that's in the same vein. Because when Mike Vrabel got here in 2018 and he brought on his staff and Keith Carter was named the offensive line coach, remember how many of you wanted Keith Carter fired? Do you recall? The screams on social media were loudest for the head of Arthur Smith, but right behind him, Keith Carter. It was ignoring that Marcus Mariota was doing things to put the offensive line in front of him in a detrimental spot because he wouldn't let go of the football. Because he took 11 sacks against the Baltimore Ravens and was not comfortable in what he was seeing in front of him. I remember talking to Vrabel about it and saying, we're just trying to get him to the point. I'm paraphrasing, but we're just trying to get him to the point where he's comfortable letting it rip. When you don't, you hurt your offensive line in front of you. So many people were saying this. They were calling for the head of offensive line coach Keith Carter. Taylor Lewan gave voice to a little bit of this yesterday, because I remember those practices when Keith first got here and Lewan went from Russ Grimm to Keith Carter, and they did not get along. Toxic is not the right word, but there was clear animosity on the field when media's out there, which is something that they never like to show us. But I asked Taylor about how the relationship between him and Keith has grown over these last couple of years, and I think you'll find his answer pretty telling.
It's gotten a lot better, man. It's gotten a whole lot better. I think there was some resistance from me in the beginning of our relationship. And, I went scratching and clawing the whole way. But I think, you know, his standard and the way what he's held us to is shown a lot in the success that we've had. I hate saying that out loud, but he was right. And so I think I have a lot more of appreciation for Keith and what he demands out of us. It's allowed us to go out there and play the way we do as an offensive line. And there's a lot of things we can do better, but, you know, there's a consistency of everyone wants to get better every day. No one's coming out here and just going through the motions. Keith won't let that happen.
So that's Taylor Lewan yesterday. And then I asked him, you know, why the initial resistance to what Keith Carter was trying to do. And this is what Lewan said.
Hey, you go from a guy like Russ Grimm, who's just kind of, you know, relaxed guy, chilling all the time, maybe has a beer at 9 in the morning kind of dude, you know, relaxing. And then Keith's a high-strung dude, and you're like, it's just a big change. You know, I've never done a very good job with authority, and he's definitely an authoritative figure. And so that was a hard thing for me to handle, and, you know, that's just being as candid as possible. But, you know, I really appreciate Keith and what he's done for this team, and especially for this offensive line. We went from... You know, we were pretty good offensive line when Keith got in, and now we have an opportunity to be a much better offensive line now.
Taylor Lewan, God bless him, honestly, for being that kind of honest, because that's what I love about athletes like that they are willing to be honest. But you could see when he said that Russ Grimm was the kind of guy who would drink a beer at 9 a.m. in the morning, you just see the entire body language of the PR staff around him just slump. They're like, no, don't say that.
That's not being a chill guy. That's alcoholism.
That's a drinking problem. Don't do that. Now we're going to have people thinking that under Mike Mularkey, the offensive line coach was drunk at 9 a.m. I'm telling you, it's so fun to watch those moments. I feel bad. I feel terrible for public relations people. I really do. Because God knows what it's like to manage something like Lawan or one of these outspoken personalities that puts that, you know, it's harmless what he did, and I understand what he was saying, but the optics of it is, oh, the offensive line coach was drunk at 9 a.m. in 2017.
Like, there's so many other ways to say somebody is just a cool, relaxed guy.
A beer at 9 a.m. is not a cool guy. I mean, it could be fine, like if you're day drinking or whatever. But it more indicates a problem, Taylor. Do not paint your former offensive line coach as a drunk. 615-737-1045. Lebowski says, seems like the kind of guy who rips a bong at 9 a.m. Oh, God.
Would that be better?
I mean, well, legally, no.
Right.
In the state of Tennessee.
Would have been funnier if
in
he
terms
had
of in terms of operationally, not that I would know, but I would assume that you are more capable of doing your job stoned than you are of doing your job drunk. Like, you're less of a danger to people. You'd just be sitting in the back of the offensive line room housing Reese's peanut butter cups, right? Like those stacks of. I know the people who are responsible for supplying the snacks to the offensive line room. There are many snacks in the offensive line room. Yeah, it's just running them thin. 615-737-1045. Unbelievable. But Taylor's point, before I got distracted by that comment, Taylor's point stands, right? How big a difference it makes in the performance of the players when they have a legitimate relationship with the coach. Bowen is speaking to that now. You've seen what strides the defense, well, you guys haven't seen it yet, but you will see what strides the defense makes. Because they, I mean, good news is they can't be worse than they were a year ago. But this extra time, this building of relationships, this comfort level with one another, the ability to know each other's cadences, to know how to work off one another, it makes all the difference in the world. You still have to have talent. You still have to have schemes that are better than the other person across from you. But that relationship, especially in a sport that's as cohesive, that requires as much cohesion as football does, when you've got so many different working parts, the relationship with the coaching staff has to be on point. It's what you're hearing Taylor Lewan speak to, that he's got that relationship with Keith. It's what you're hearing Shane Bowen speak to about how much that's helping him do his job now that he's officially the DC. We will take your calls coming up next. We will talk about Mike Vrabel's defensive MO before we get into some Vols talk as well. Look at that, the Titans again on First Take, Derrick Henry. Look at the Titans getting all the love. Dark horse team to win the Super Bowl. Oh, kill me now. It's August. Stop it. This is Jason Martin all over again. We'll come back. We'll take your calls. Darrington will lead us off. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone.